Hello friends, we are studying the subject of customer-centric organization. We are now on chapter 6. This chapter is on outside-in product decisions. We learnt essentially that customer-centric means customer is kept at the center of everything and then organization arranges around it. So that's what every aspect is, an outside-in aspects. So we keep studying various things. One such thing is the outside in product decisions. How does organization which is customer centric take product decisions? So here essentially objective wise we will study essence of expectations, need and perception that the customer builds about you, the benefit that he receives, what is product levels, especially the augmentation in the product. Then we get into understanding risk and opportunities while you resort to augmentation of your product. Then we get into may need follow on products and things like relationship buyer versus transactional buyer. So those are the issues that we will study. What we are trying to tell you essentially as an introduction is organization who starts with the customer and understands what customer needs, deserves a chance or have the chance to make the good product, because they are actually aligning their product to after understanding what exactly customer needs. They have been working with the customers, okay. So this will enhance the success rate, and honing this intuition means organization has to develop itself. It cannot come overnight. Constantly be in touch with the customers. Honing this intuition enables you to make, that is organizations to make decisions. They are taken much faster than the competition. They utilize your internalized knowledge which competitor doesn't have, because they may not be as deep with the customers, and therefore they come out with much better product which aligns itself with the needs of the customers. So in our pursuit to understand a relationship between expectation, need and perception, the customer overall looks at his benefit, what he perceives as that he is getting out of utilizing your product or services or coming to you. Now, this is an equation which is the benefit that the customer receives vis-a-vis cost. Again, it's a perceived cost. Now, there are many costs, psychological costs, there are physical labor, information searching costs, etc. So, finally, what customer looks at is what is his perceived value at the end of what is he getting, and that needs to be either maintained or enhanced by the company so that they really become customer centric. Customer will always feel the value in your offering. The product and the services that a company has to offer are organized around its customer's need. So they are developed after understanding the solution that the customer is looking at. Okay. And it has a relation to, that's where the relationship to your level of expertise and production capabilities that you have. So that will be looked upon by the customer. So here is a graphical representation. It gets into like four layers wherein customer is at the center. Value is created, communicated and delivered through consistent experience. So consistent experience is a result of perceived benefit, perceived cost and then what he gets in the net. And you see that it's surrounded by the brand experience. So customer's immediate, this thing is the brand experience that he gets, which is supported by marketing. The marketing has to drive the brand experience, and that happens, marketing is able to do due to their core competencies and support activities that they align towards customer support. So that's what the overall connect between the expectation, needs and perception, wherein company has to deliver consistent experience. Creating a strategy, therefore, creating a strategy for product development is important, and often it's a multifaceted segment. You may be serving different segments. So you see that you may have to offer a different marketing mix. As I say that, you know, say if the Veena World is serving the adventure tourist and they are also serving the wellness tourist. Therefore, it's not the same product. Adventure tourists would like to be at the base camp of, you know, Mount Kailash or Mount Everest, while wellness traveler will to be in Puducherry and, you know, Coimbatore and those kind of places. So right from the product, price, place, etc. changes. So multiple segment that you may be handling, and therefore you have to have capability to have a difference retained as well as have a strong research. So there are certain aspects that you have to really, really strengthen around the competition, around the customers, which is what this is saying. That first of all, it starts with the R&D. market research to begin with, then the marketing, then the engineering, then all the design, material people and manufacturing has to come together. Then only you can really create a value for customer. In most cases, a product development strategy will depend on two main goals that you try to achieve. One is keeping the new product or the product line. Product line is mouth care. So various things under the mouth care. Hair care, we'll have a shampoo, conditioner, etc. So that's a product line within the company's overall objective and the marketing philosophy. So you keep developing new product, which is overall under the philosophy and the marketing that value that they look at it, and developing a system for assessing the performance of an existing product. So how is my existing product doing? That also one should be careful about. For evaluating the success of an existing product, the one which you are running, which is 5 years old, 10 years old, etc. Factors such as, so how do you measure the success? Sales, current customer response, profit that you generate, what is the state of the competition, and market acceptance are usually looked at. Product development is usually based upon, so when you go for a product development, it gets into this criteria, which is putting together a strategy, helps you to determine which product needs to be modified, continued or discontinued. So decisions when it comes to product are generally of three nature. Do you need a modification? Can you continue with the same, or do you want to discontinue? The fourth one is a new product development, which is altogether critical, is a subject matter in itself. When working on product development, it can be helpful to remember that product is often more than just a tangible goods, but all a set of technical, economic, legal and personal relation between you and the consumer. So manufacturer should not forget, it may be just a technical thing for you, but your relationship with the customer has a lot of such issues. Economical, how do they see you technically? Is there any legal issues that, between you and customer? What is the relationship that you are trying to build with the targeted customers, etc. So that's also one need to remember. So we are getting into a kind of a brief case study. It's about the Virgin Trains that belongs to the Virgin Group of company. Virgin Train is a brand that has had a major challenge of bringing the UK rail industry into the 20th century. So they were among the existing player, but they were saddled with the challenges of the time. Now they need to take that leap so that it becomes the next century train company. The company is responsible for linking towns and cities across the length and breadth of the country with over 35 million passengers moving each day. Therefore, it undertook a significant level of marketing research. So they started with the research. Many passengers now had the experience of traveling on airlines or on a overseas railways, and as a result, their expectation from long distance travel have increased. So those who have experienced economic carrier, their experience vis-a-vis the train travel has been much better. Now, if they translate their experience for the train journey long distance, it will be obviously different. It will be notch above they will expect. The research has highlighted the significant and the highly diverse expectations. So what they came out with a list of very diverse customer expectations about the long travel. Business and increasingly leisure travelers want an access to the internet and emails through a broad wireless internet. So while movement, they needed a connectivity. That's also what come out. This clearly demonstrates that customer expectation of service do not remain constant. So that's the one thing. Through a research, it came out that expectation of service constantly changes. Organizations needs to be aware of how these expectations are changing, adopt themselves. That's why it requires a flexibility and agility. The customer-centric organization needs to be most flexible and agile so that they can adopt to changing service need by offering the relevant services. So five ways companies can make product decisions. We will look at five different ways that company can take product decisions. So these are the things that they should keep in mind or consider. Most companies use some combination of the following. Okay, so customer wants, deal driven, intuition, industry experience and left brain. These are the theory in itself, so we will briefly cover them. So we look into various aspects, the five ways companies can make product decision. One is to understand customer wants. Customer having existing products, will want a feature addition. So need and want, that's a different. Need is a basic satisfier, while the want is a specific satisfier. Need is like, if you are hungry, even pohe will do for you. But the son says, no mama, don't make poha, I will order for burger. So that's a specific satisfier. So that's a want. So likewise, in the existing product, customers may want a lot of feature introductions, feature improvements, etc. So does your company listen to the customer? Second is the deal driven. So there are product which has to be developed. Many time products are developed during a promotion phase. So they are developed essentially to offer company an edge in offering certain deal. So if that deal is successful, so much gets produced and so much gets sold during a shorter period of time, it brings a lot of revenue for the company. So many time product development are designed for a specific deal. It may not be very feature rich product, but you are still, that product is so popular, you are making a scaled down version, so to say. The third is the intuition. Now, intuition is a factor which is, though theoretic, though it doesn't fit into the designing of this thing well, but look at Apple, okay, and his founder, member, etc., and the team, Steve Jobs, etc. They not only did research, but they worked more on intuition as well. So world was chasing the Walkman, they went in iPad. So likewise, they were working constantly. The intuition, there is no substitute, but that is within few visionaries. Development, see how, the developers see how they apply the technology. So they will not look at, forcing the technology, but what they try to do is, can this technology available today be looked at innovatively that will give a different solution altogether to the customers, rather than just fiddling around with existing solution using a technology. So that's where they make the difference. Okay. And they really peel in, or such companies also encourage freedom of voice. So the people are encouraged, the team are encouraged to participate. And that's what the second point says, that everyone peels off, everyone includes in it. Industry experience. All said and done, what is your industry experience? Now, if I say the Bharti Airtel or say Vodafone have a long industry experience of being in the country, knowing the customers, being in the international market, knowing the international market customers, etc. So product decision many time also depends on accumulation of the experience that the company may have. So company, even in this, includes employee. So they bring in employee with a long service experience with the company and listen to them. Industry experience is one, that's what we are learning it. Why employee? Employee have feet on the ground, or rather they listen to the rumbling on the ground, and therefore they are able to bring in lot of competitive insight, lot of changing needs. If there is anything else, or the substitute that is being tried by the member who is a part of your target segment, etc. So then they are able to give you, one is the other side of the story, second is based on their own learning about those things, they may be able to tell you certain new ideas that you can convert into product or a solution. Left brain. Now that's a typical theory, psychological theory. There are different techniques to that. Two mentioned out here, and one is little explained. One is a Kano, and second is the A/B testing. Now what is A/B testing? Here, team member with that left-hand brain bent, as they say, there's a left-hand bent and right-hand bent. Those with the left-hand bent are supposed to be very meticulous. So they enter into very rigorous approach and analytics. So they want everything analyzed and validated. So they will go through that process of finding the right approach, use any analytical tool, validate things, etc., and then set out to conclude certain things. So only after they conclude things, what comes out as expectedly well received by, because that may help you to develop appropriate marketing tactics, because this is a very thoughtful decision. So that's what the left brain means. So we now enter into a new subject or a section called the customer decision journey. Now, all aspects keep apart. Customers go through a very hierarchy-based journey about his decision. So that one need to really understand. Developing a deep knowledge of how consumer make that final decision or which step is taken first is very important. The most marketeers, the difficult part is focusing on strategies and spending on the most influential touch points. So you need to know, how does your customer recognize, first of all, that he has a need, whether he operates on the external stimuli or there are internal stimulus. Then how he searches information, how he analyzes the information, how does he go into selection and trial, then how does he make final purchase decisions, level of involvement, the risk involved, etc. And post-purchase decision, post-purchase, blah. So these are the things you need to know, and then you can focus on touch points where you really can click the behavior, really can click the perception in your favor. Without such realignment, marketers face two risks. If you really do not align yourself with the understanding of the consumer's decision-making journey, the risk one is they could waste money. Your money will not yield you the desired return because you will not be able to touch base, engage with the customer. So right from poor engagement, so poor awareness, poor click-through rate, and poor lead in generation, etc. Marketers could seem out of touch. Many times this, if gets prolonged, marketers will realize that they do not understand anything about their customers. They are out of touch. So to understand this customer journey better, there are five kinds of alignment that is required. Okay, so when they do that, their overall alignment will be fruitful. Prioritize objectives and spending. Why are you spending this amount? Do you know what you want to achieve? Only when you know what exactly you want to achieve, spending on that is worthwhile. Tailor messaging, the message also has to align in such a way that it helps you. It helps you to create the perception, it helps you to create the preference, it helps you to make customer take the call to action that you expected, which will fulfill your objectives that you have in mind. Invest in consumer-driven marketing. So every time try to see, instead of push, can you create pull? Like, so offer them the insight, offer them the solutions that you have developed for them, convey the value that you are offering. All those things, when you do, brand experience, customer journey-based experience, all those things are consumer-driven marketing. Win the in-store battle. Many times, brand may be on the top of mind, brand may be in the consideration stage, but loses in-shop. Because in shop, when customer enters, there are other brands trying to take his attention. Some of them may succeed. So now what has happened, not only the brand recall, but brand attention is also required. In-store promotion is therefore very vital, integrating all customer-facing activities. Now, instead of keeping things loose, can you integrate all customer-facing activities? So customer-facing activity integration means each one exactly knows that they are dealing with whom, what is an expectation, how that expectation gets fulfilled. If I have to just give you one example, for one of my elder neighbor, I told him that I will help you to get certain things which will be suitable for you. And I tapped one of the e-tailer who only supports the senior citizens related all the items. But my experience was horrible. Their website shows you different status, their WhatsApp group tells you different status about your group, their calling when you do gives you different status. So their customer facing activities were not aligned. So I as a consumer suffered. So you see, that's what. So now we have to understand the concept of value. I have earlier touched based about this perception. So like a perceived benefit minus the cost. Cost is both physical, temporal, in the sense search cost and other cost that a customer puts in. We will see that. And then from there, he looks at what is the value he getting. So that is what this equation is all about. And customers tries to see whether he is getting a fair value for what is he doing it, which is a benefit minus cost. So here there is a graphical representation. The cone customer perceived value is a total customer benefit, total customer cost. So this is graphically showing you the value. So value is a derivative of a total customer benefit and total customer cost. Okay, so total customer benefit is our what? You know, he will look at product benefit, personal benefit, service benefit, and image benefit. Does his image get a lift? On against that, there are costs that he monitors, monetary cost, the psychic cost, the energy cost, the time cost that he has to invest in getting your product or the service. just to give you the value example out of that. So value is equal to benefit minus cost. This is a DHL, super fast. Send your university applications super fast. Okay, 50% off. And so value created is assurance. Value created is assurance. So customer gets a benefit for which he assumes a cost. Value is therefore subjective. There is a function of consumer's expectation as per their expectation, and it is relational because both benefits and costs must be positive values, must have positive values relatively. So that's about perceived benefit minus cost equal to value. So let's now understand the final aspect of the customer value as a concept. Now here I have given you an example, very simple one to help you understand. If you want, do not want to add value, only product, then the example is cooling tower. Manufacturers just say, okay, we sell cooling towers. Now he wants to give a service which is mandatory for him to survive. So product plus service, he will say that cooling tower with free installation. However, the real service minded people who wants to add value for the customer, they will say that, you know, cooling tower plus free installation plus 6 months free checking of a scaling and its removal. Scaling impacts the thermal capacity of the cooling tower. So that's what he adds it to. So that's a all value. It's on the in the hands of the supplier how he can add value. Now value, when you say it is a relational this thing with the cost. Now this fair value line you can increase, okay, while reducing the perceived cost. So cost of, so benefit and reducing the irritation factor, cost or the irritation factor. So what will happen, his fair value will go up and he will feel benefit is received by him is much larger. So value is equal to benefit minus cost. So when you naturally reduce the cost that the customer has to incur, naturally the value will be more. So that's the equation. Understanding the cultural expectation. Let's take an example of pizzas. And in Japan and pizzas in United States, now perception is also has a relational factor with the community and culture. So in Japan, the pizza might be just topped with the fish rather than in the US where mutton, chickens, etc. are also offered. The value in the marketplace, therefore, supposedly varying from place to place because cultural differences are significant. So for a firm to deliver value to its customers, they must consider what is known as a total market offering. So that is what is a very important subject, total market offering. So total includes what? Total marketing offering means it is not merely the product or the service. It is add to it what is the reputation of the organization, add to it their staff skill set and efficiency, the product benefit obviously. How technologically advanced your product is, okay, compared to the competitors, vis-a-vis the price and the network professional proficiency. So how they are also backing up the customers. So this is a total market offering. So as the value can thus be defined as relationship of firm's market offering to those of its competitors. So if your total market offering is much better than the competition, that means you offer more value than the competitor. Very often managers conduct, how do you derive this? So that is derived through a structured value analysis, which is done through a research, which pulls out your strengths and weaknesses as perceived by the customers. So to identify the major attributes and benefit that the customers value most about your product, they will tell you. Many times your perceived consideration that this customer may be valuing may not be true. Customers look at things differently. So you must know what customers is liking about you and what benefit do they feel. An assessment of the quantitative importance of the different attributes and benefits. So now, once you know what it is, then you must know the relativity of it. What is constituting the major impact? Where does customer see more benefit or the value? So that will help you to know ascending, descending order. And then you can decide your strategy and tactical plan. So managers has to therefore conduct regular surveys to understand the strength and weakness, and then the quantify relatively how customers look at various attributes that you are good at versus value that they are associating it with. So assessment of companies and competitors' performance on each attribute and benefit. So now the beauty is such research requires a comparative study. So you require not only your product or service matched with the competitors, examine how customer in a particular segment. So it has to be very segment specific. You can't have a very widespread coverage and then arrive at one common this thing. It has to be segment specific. Company must pull in comparison vis-a-vis major competitor in that segment and monitor customers' perceived value over time. This monitoring many times company fail. Company must define what is the time that they want to revisit the perceived value factor. Now, in a very fierce competitive this thing, it may be once in 6 months, in a moderate competition, maybe once in 2 years, but that has to be fixed. Now we enter into a new section, customer see augmented product. So now, just for your basic understanding, there are always three levels that people talk about when it comes to product. One is a core product, that is what you are meant to be offering. So automobile company do not say we offer automobile or a car or this thing. What they say that we offer mobility between the two points of cities or two distance point. So that's what their core product is. 5-star, 7-star do not say we offer luxurious this thing. They say that we offer overnight luxury stay. So now that's where the core. Then actual product is the actual, the room, the furnishing, finishing, actual car that you offer. And augmented is add a lot of service, maybe some of them intangible, like a 3-year free maintenance and those kind of things is an augmentation. Now customers see this augmentation. Okay, so generic product can be made to look distinctly different by adding value, by adding extra features, okay, and enhance the quality and perceived benefit, or a performance is improved so that customer will see that you have improved upon. The final level of customer perception involves augmented properties. The augmented product is the base product plus all the attributes that augment this product. So core product, afterwards the base product, and in the base product what all augmentation that you offer is an augmented product. And this is what has been seen by the customer. This slide indicates you that. So this is an example of a Sony camcorder. Core is the ability to take video pictures conveniently. That's the core. They don't say that we offer video or this thing. We ability to take pictures conveniently, continuously. Actual Sony Handycam, that's a brand name, package, convenient design, very handheld, okay, playback features, and provides the desired benefit, that is high quality video capturing. Now augmented is what? Receive more than just the camcorder. So when you receive something more than the camcorder, gives you buyers a warranty on parts and workmanship, free lessons on how to use camcorder effectively, quick repair service, do-it-yourself handling, etc. Beyond video capturing, how you enhance and make the reels, etc. So that kind of a learning, toll-free number to get your queries resolved. So these are those augmentations. So that's an example. So we continue to understand this customer see augmented product in terms of competition with other products. So when you are faced with competition, consumers greatly value the added benefit that you are bringing in, which increases either his convenience, which increases his probability of better use of your product, etc., which increases the probability of him getting better value for money. So therefore, he considers his purchase decision, and that purchase decision in your favor, because he understands the notion of total package. Whether you as a manufacturer may or may not know, customer looks at your offer as a total package. Okay, when you provide a base product with augmentation. For example, when manufacturers of automotive parts, a high performance product will provide the customer with the basic benefits while adding spare parts, technical assistance and skill training that will enhance the properties to create total package with the increased appeal to customers. So that's how augmented offer can be made to the customers. Augmentation brings both risks and opportunities. So model of service quality distinguishes between the technical quality of the service and its functional quality. So this is more towards the service side, but I think some aspect is definitely been absorbed by the product people also. Now you need to distinguish between, before we understand the risk and the opportunity, distinguish between the technical quality and there's a functional quality. Your technical quality may be super, but functionally it is still not delivering the help that the customer needed. So technical quality refers to what the consumer receives. I have received a camcorder. Okay, so technically it is very good. Functional quality is, which is the element of a service augmentation. Functionally, am I able to use it efficiently? Now, I may not be a good videographer, but because Sony gave me added lecture, or Sony has connected me with the influencer who's himself a good video taker, video photographer. So his tips and tricks have helped me, and that's how I got that functional benefit, which was far more greater. So for example, if an ATM machine is not working, this is a breakdown of the service product, so technical quality. But if customers find the ATM difficult to use, okay, then it is considered as a service augmentation failure. You have not understood how to keep it simple for the customers, and you complicated the whole process, and therefore he finds it very difficult to use it. So here is a basic communication framework. The element of communications are considered as integral part of service augmentation. Elements are expectations on purchase, old or new customers. Okay, then they get into the interactions with you, which is a moment of truth. They enhance their experience as they interact with you. Okay, so this experience brings them more understanding about your product and services and organization's capability. And then it leads to word of mouth. They themselves will become your advocate. So word of mouth and reference. So what this tries to tell you is that communication elements are different, as they have a direct effect on the experience, service experience. Word of mouth communication at the time of consumption. Okay, from other customers and also the staff. Staff is considered because they are also facilitating the moment of truth. This can change customer's perception of the service that he received. So word of mouth may many time be a spoiler, where they may increase the perception too high and you do not deliver on that. So they may feel that they have not received what they want. Therefore, the communication which sets things right and builds right expectation and you deliver the right experience makes all the difference. So therefore, the market research stresses the importance of corporate image also as a part of service augmentation, because in the service industry, it may not be what the service product that you offer, but you are more aware of and you are more relying or dependent on the institutions which is offering it. So that's another aspect. So beautiful aspect under this is the company itself many times considered as a ultimate product. So when perceived quality is directly influenced by the communication, and add to that the corporate image will boost, act as a filtering device or maybe at times a decision making. So what happens, a service augmentation is not just as an extra add-on, but it's a part of the total offering, and corporate image adds a topping to it. So many times you select the product out of which company is offering it. The service product cannot exist without service augmentation. So naturally, if you are in a service, product can just get augmented with the additional service, but the service product cannot get augmented without a service actually being augmented. This is because the services are not created until the customer interacts with the service organization. So till that encounter doesn't happen, services are not created. So here the example is given of an ATM. Okay. Only produced when customer inserts the ATM card. So that's a precise form of augmentation, and he will not experientially uses it. So that's what one need to understand. Thank you.